Hello, this is Matthew McGee. I'm so happy to be back on Radio St. Pete with my little show, Up to Here, H-E-A-R. But I'm also up to here, H-E-R-E, wouldn't you know it, these days. No, actually, it's a good day today. Good blood pressure readings. We're really happy. Things are going well. So we'll keep that up. Today, I have a very special guest. I have Julia Ruffino, who is an actress, a singer, a visual artist, a scenic painter, and she's also an arts administrator at Freefall Theater Company right here in St. Petersburg. But she's done quite a few things on both sides of the bay. And so we're going to talk to her a little bit today about her background and about the season opener at Freefall, because our new season starts in September. It feels like we just finished the last season, you know, barely. So now we start a new season, and we are opening with an Andrew Lloyd Webber show called Tell Me on a Sunday, one that not a lot of people know. But of course, everybody knows Andrew Lloyd Webber from Cats and The Phantom of the Opera and Sunset Boulevard. But many people don't know the great show, Tell Me on a Sunday. They might know it as Song and Dance, which was a Bernadette Peters vehicle, but we have the original version, which is one act, but we have a lot of exciting things to talk about, how our production will be a little different, which you've come to realize at Freefall Theater anyway. So Julia, it's so great to have you here. Julia, tell us a little bit about where you grew up, because you are a Florida gal.
I am.
And you grew up in a little place called Spring Hill, where I also lived for many years, where there's neither a spring nor a hill. But tell us a little bit about that. That's where you grew up, and you've been in Florida basically your whole life, but you've also done some other work. So we'll talk about all that. But tell us a little bit about growing up in Spring Hill.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, I grew up in Spring Hill, Florida, and I have been pursuing theater since I was a little kid and all of the arts, honestly. And yeah, I actually was just in Spring Hill yesterday. I was visiting my dad. It was his birthday. So yeah. I'm grateful to be close enough to visit my family over there. But
did you start doing theater in high school in Spring Hill, or was it more – because I remember you telling me you kind of, when you grew up, you were shy.
Yes.
You didn't want to be the center of attention.
Painfully shy, actually. I started doing community theater at Ritchie Suncoast Theater in Newport Ritchie. And actually, fun fact, my first show was an Andrew Lloyd Webber show. I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat as a little baby.
One of the kids' choir.
One of the kids' choir. Yeah. So 10-year-old Julia is very proud of where I am today. I started at community theater, and I did that up until high school. I went to Nature Coast, and they had an awesome theater program there. And then I studied at the University of Tampa.
Now, the University of Tampa, I don't know if any of our listeners know about this, but the University of Tampa, they have a great theater program. Mm-hmm. And actually, a lot of the students, there are a lot of students in the UT theater program that work in shows throughout Tampa Bay. But then there's also, they also, and either they work in shows in Tampa Bay and stick around, mm-hmm. or sometimes they go away. You know, they go to New York or other places. So there's a real history of that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of connection with the UT and the theater community, especially in Tampa itself, with theaters like Job Site Theater and Stageworks, and even Freefall and American Stage as well.
Yeah.
But especially those places in Tampa, because it's right next door. It's very close.
Yeah.
Tell
absolutely.
Us a little bit about UT. You were in their musical theater program?
Yeah. I studied musical theater, and I also was I minored in studio art as well, so I got to work on both of those things. Actually, my first professional show was at Stageworks. I graduated and then went to my opening show of Avenue Q right over there. So it was a perfect segue into the professional world here. And I love that we have such an amazing regional theater community in Tampa Bay and across both sides of the bay in St. Pete too. So
yeah, you can stay busy. You won't be rich, but you can certainly stay busy.
Right. But getting your foot in the door here was such a blessing for me. And I'm really grateful that I got to go to school there.
And, you know, UT, I was thinking about this the other day because I know so many UT students that have been on all the different stages around here. Was it a conscious, I think, were you consciously aware that you wanted to stick around in Tampa Bay because you wanted to be close to family and you wanted to try to find a way to be a working artist in Tampa Bay, which I think is possible. Again, you're not going to become a millionaire and you're going to have to deal with, like, traffic you would have dealt with in LA anyway.
Right.
But I know that you did work right after college at StageWorks. But then I also know you were an intern at Florida Rep in Fort Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when was that? Was that pretty soon after you graduated as
well? Yeah, that was the next fall. After I graduated, I went to Florida Rep for 9 months, and I did a whole children's tour there, and I got to work. They cast us in their main stage productions as well. So that was a really cool experience. And I got a lot of my professional experience through that. My choice to stay in Tampa had a lot to do with, I'm very close with my family. So I loved the idea of being able to be a part of a thriving theater community at the time. And still, you know, within an hour drive from my family, but I looked at a lot of different places out of state. But also financially, it was really good to stay in Florida to afford an education and still get to pursue my dreams. So it worked out for the best, and I don't regret.
I think people are just, you know, it's funny. Like, one of the things that was a big goal for me is when I was an actor in this area, I wanted to basically work at what I call the big four. I wanted to work at American Stage, and I wanted to work at Free Fall, and I wanted to work at JobSite and StageWorks.
Yeah.
And I did, but it took me almost 20 years to get to JobSite. But you have basically worked at all those places.
Yeah.
Plus, you were at Universal in Orlando for many years. So you've actually done quite a bit. And I think people are still just getting to know you as far as theater audiences.
Yeah.
But I think one of the most unique things for an actor in this town is there are two venues that if you want to get the biggest amount of people that you can see every single, like you, in one night, you can be seen by a lot of people to get your name out there is the Jabe at the Straz and Demon's Landing, American Stage in the Park. And you did, I think, one of the best American Stage in the Park shows, Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
You were the daughter in Mamma Mia. And then, of course, you've done so many things at the Jabe, including, what was the one with all the girls that are like...
Shout.
The Mod musical. And Avenue Q
so
again.
Mm-hmm.
And many things over there as well. So, there's a lot to do in theater around here. But one of the things that I've always said, the only really way to kind of survive in this area... And I mean, I hope people listening take this as a bit of a word of wisdom or a bit of a lesson. I think it's very good to try to work at a theater organization in some sort of, arts administration capacity. A lot of people think of me as just Matthew McGee, the actor, but I've been working at Free Fall and in marketing and communications since 2012, 2011. And that's really what my job is.
Yeah.
And so... we were very lucky that we were able to hire people after the pandemic. And it was a couple of years before we could do that. But I know that it was a real find because we got, you. And I always say your boyfriend, but you like to say partner. But anytime people say partner these days, I go, are you gay?
There's a big controversy.
Yeah, there's
there
a big
that.
Controversy. But we won't get into that on this show because we'll be up to here.
Well, you know, H-E-R-E. And I just turned 32. So sometimes I'm like, this is my boyfriend.
Yeah, I know.
It's weird.
And James Putnam is also an actor. He was the Grinch, at Universal. And that's how y'all met.
Yeah.
You were in the Grinch show.
In Whoville. It was a lot of fun.
And he played the Grinch for a long time. I mean, he's like one of the more well-known Grinches. Like he was in the television marketing campaigns, all kinds of stuff. But he's also a really talented master carpenter and set builder. And you bring not only acting, but he is an actor, a great actor, very funny actor. If you see a lot of Free Fall shows, you'll remember him, especially in Baskerville, which he was a hoot in that. But, you also are a scenic painter.
Yeah.
You help us with – you are definitely a big part of the marketing team there. I mean, I say team. It's me and you.
<It's us. laughs>
But you're very skilled in video. You're skilled in video editing, graphic design. I mean, you really have a big job at Free Fall, and we're really lucky to have you. But
thank you.
But I think that's sort of what you – I think that's what everybody kind of looks for.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's – you got to do something. The theater just, as an actor in theater around here, it's tough. It's tough. There's not enough gigs and they don't always pay enough.
It really is helpful to have multiple skills in all of the disciplines in theater, you know, and you also get to see a different perspective of the entire process. I've had such a great time working full time for Freefall, you know, as part of the admin team and creative team, but, you know, seeing the technical sides of things, getting to know people who are sound engineers and, you know, our master electrician, and working with James, you know, creating the sets together. That's something that we did post-pandemic freelancing work. We would do scenic painting around town. I got to scenic.
And he works in Orlando too, as master carpenter, scenic charge or whatever.
So that's kind of where that started for me. I generally would stick to, you know, the visual art with marketing or logo designs and show designs.
And you've done that for many other theaters as well.
Yeah. So getting into the hands-on, you know, large-scale scenic painting was a little daunting at first, but that's where he and I teamed up, you know, and started our tech theater experience.
What people don't know is that basically Eric, who is the artistic director at Freefall Theater, Eric Davis, he was doing all of those things that you do now. He was not only directing and producing the shows and wearing so many hats on the production team, he would also be making video. He would also be doing graphic design. For the longest time, I mean, after the pandemic, when we had to furlough a lot of employees, the two people who were back were me and Eric and Michael Raby and Joseph Gay, who's now moved to New Zealand, and he gives Hobbit tours.
Yeah.
Look at him.
He's thriving.
He's doing great. but he was, you know, it was just four of us. And so Eric and I just did everything.
Yeah.
And so then when we were able to rehire some people, hire some new people, got an executive director, got you guys. It's been great. It's a good team.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, embarrass you too much, you know, when people listen to this. But, you know, over the years, basically, you know, Eric always talks about, you know, one day I won't be able to keep doing this. And he says, the person I think who could really do what I do is Julia.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he said she's like a person that can make things happen. So out of all of this, like, selling you, you know, to the nth degree, which I like to do, especially a young woman in theater, because I think you bring a great perspective to Freefall. Let's face it, it's a lot of dudes, you know. Too many. No, it's never too many. I mean, what would theater be without Gen X men making it happen? especially at Freefall. But yeah, you know, you bring a lot to the table. So, you know, you've been on stage a few times. In Miracle on 34th Street, and of course, recently in the House of Future Memory Roadshow, where you played numerous characters. And I remember Eric came up to me after Roadshow and said, I've really got to do something for Julia that's kind of like a star vehicle, because he said, I'm really impressed by all of the different characters she played in Roadshow. Mm. And so there were so many discussions about what that play could be. And then there's this weird through line in our new season that we didn't do it on purpose, but everything is very 1980s vibe, which is what we grew up with. Is, you know, Eric and I, that was the entertainment we watched. Those were the plays we watched. So even if we're not trying to, there's a lot of nostalgia in the new season. Not everything has an 80s feel, but he did say everything could potentially, though. And so this was a musical that he really liked, that actually Michael Raby, our musical director, was never really fond of normally. But so when they brought it, it brought Tell Me on a Sunday to him. Michael Raby, our music director, was like, okay, Tell Me on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. But it has amazing Andrew Lloyd Webber songs. Some of them nobody knows. And then, of course, Unexpected Song, which everybody knows or has heard at a piano bar somewhere in, you know, in Chelsea or something in New York. But he said, I think she could do this play. And now this musical originally starred Marty Webb. And, of course, it's had other people play it. It is very seldomly produced. In fact, getting the rights for it was why we delayed our season as long as we did, because for some reason that was the one show that was really a holdup. And I don't really know why, except for the fact that once you get it, there's so many versions of it.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to sift through everything to figure out what the show ultimately is. So there's only been a recent production, I think, in Chicago or something, like maybe a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, she can play this. It's a young woman. She's British. She comes to New York. Eric says that theater really has veered away from romantic pieces, and he thinks that's important because the people who come to theater mostly want to actually see that,
it's
like
so
romantic
relatable.
Comedies and romantic musicals. And so he thought this would be an interesting thing, but then he kind of one-upped the whole situation. Usually this show is just just an actress singer mm-hmm. with a band, and she's just telling her story, and it's kind of like a one-person show with a band. Hmm. But now we're going to add three dancers, three male dancers that play the roles of the men that you sing about throughout the show. Mm-hmm. And in addition to Eric Davis, who's directing, and Michael Raby, who's musical directing, we're bringing in a great choreographer from California, good friend of the theater, Leanne Alduenda, who is a what is it? What did she call it? Modern jazz, I think. Yes. So she's done some choreographic work for us before in our town, but most people remember her work in a big hit for us, The Light in the Piazza. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very exciting to see what she does with the staging, with the musical staging. And it's, interestingly enough, our biggest band we've had at Free Fall in a long time. So there will be a lot of instruments. There will be dancers and Julia and all these very interesting incorporation with the set, with the city of New York and video. And it should be just a really exciting way for us to open up our season.
Absolutely.
And a nice vehicle for you.
Yeah.
Are you excited about this show? I know you've already started rehearsing on it, even though rehearsal doesn't really start for like another week or mm-hmm. so. But you've already begun rehearsals, apparently.
Yeah, we've sung through a few songs. And I'm also just very grateful for all of the kind things that you just said, that Eric trusted that I could carry this. Really exciting and a wonderful opportunity. So I feel incredibly grateful, and I am excited. I'm excited to sing this beautiful music, and I think all of the ideas that he has for the piece are, very free fall.
Free fall, because it's going to look like no other version
yes,
of it.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. I can already tell just from the little bits that I've heard in the creative team. And Michael and I are really excited to look at all of the different versions that exist and find the pieces that we want to keep in our production and round it out.
These guys we got, it's like eye candy.
Oh, my
gosh. They're like these good-looking, diverse men who've all, been to the gym a few times.
It seems like, well, yes, dancers.
People love
dance
that.
Is the best form of exercise.
It really is. I should look into it. I'm over here trying not to breathe so hard. You know what I mean? Because, come on.
Hey, good blood pressure today,
though. Yeah, good blood pressure reading. And you got to breathe. So you've got a lot going for it. Do you consider yourself more of a singer than an actress, or an actress first and then a singer? One person told me they love your voice because it sounds like a xylophone. And what that means is that all the note values and the pitches, you go between, it's all kind of real clear and right on top of it.
Well, thank you.
Do you think of yourself more of a singer than an actress, or what do you think?
I would say I started as a singer, and because I was so shy as a kid, I would sing quietly, just for a select group of people. So acting and storytelling was where I was able to merge the two together. And I've had so much fun training and learning more about storytelling with music. I think that's the most important part, is I'm grateful to have the technique and the singing chops, but the storytelling is the most important way that I can connect with people through song.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for this piece, because to me, when I'm looking at the score, it feels like a conversation with a friend, or it's like my diary through song, this character's diary through song. And to have the dancers enhancing the storytelling is going to be so beautiful. And yeah, I don't know. So it's a hard question. I think I'm a singer first, and I have learned.
Every performer can, it's better if you're a performer to be able to do it all, because you're just more versatile and you're more marketable and you're more hireable, mm-hmm. if you can do a lot of different things. And I do think you're a good actress too, and I think that's going to help the show, because mm-hmm. it was just a person singing everything really well.
Yeah. The storytelling is what makes you feel something.
It's interesting too, because every theater now is grappling with the idea of, how do we keep people coming? And it's like kind of like you want to shake people and say it's sort of a no-brainer, because like this next play we're doing is romantic, it's hopeful, mm-hmm. and it has great music and a great band. And music is so important. It's so important at Free Fall. I think out of all the companies this year, we're doing six shows, and I think, how many are musicals?
A lot.
Four of them. Right. Wait. Let's see. Tell Me on a Sunday. Well, Death Trap is a play.
A Christmas Carol
is a musical. Himself and Nora is a mm-hmm. musical.
Yeah.
And then Bash the Titans is a musical. And of course, And Then They Came for Me is a play.
Yeah, four of the six are musicals.
So that's a lot of musicals.
Mm-hmm.
We are excited about this new season. as we said, there's this 80s through line.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna walk through that a little bit. So you have this wonderful show from the 80s, Tell Me on a Sunday, Andrew Lloyd Webber. And then it's one of his first ones. Not many people know it. You have The Amazing Death Trap, which we're really excited about. That's, of course, a late 70s, early 80s play by Ira Levin, who wrote Rosemary's Baby and The Stepford Wives. And interestingly enough, when they're talking about people where they live in Connecticut, there are characters they name that are mentioned in both Rosemary's Baby and Stepford Wives. That's a little nugget. I'm directing that one, which I'm really excited about. And it's going to star Eric Davis as Sidney Brule, the playwright, and Natalie Simons, who's coming back into on stage to play his wife, Myra, and all the other shenanigans. There's also many more great cast members in that.
What a cast.
We'll share very soon. Then, of course, we do A Christmas Carol, which everyone loves. That's a great, great show. I mean, 80s, you could say. I mean, you know, we could find something there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Himself and Nora, which I think is a highly romantic, very passionate show. Mm-hmm. Back to the idea of where musicals were really, you know, it's about a great writer and his muse, you know.
Yeah.
And they're straight. So that's a shocker in theater.
Oh my gosh.
It's up to here. I say what I want to say. but that really is groundbreaking these days.
The music is amazing.
It's amazing.
Too.
And then we do And Then They Came For Me, which is about the life of Anne Frank. And it's an interesting multimedia experience, which we're partnering with the Florida Holocaust Museum on. So that's going to be a great show and a great experience for people. And they're going to learn a lot. We felt it was really important to do that particular piece in the time we're in right now. And then, of course, we round out the season with Bash of the Titans, which is it's a parody of the 1980s sword and sorcery film, which was about Greek gods and Perseus and Andromeda and Pegasus and the Kraken and all that stuff. And we're doing it all set to 1980s rock music. That is going to be written by me and Eric Davis and Michael Raby. And wow, what good times that's going to be, all set to 1980s music. And we're working right now because we want to team up with a brewery, so if anybody's listening, we're going to be doing a very special basically, this show has drink service during the show, so there are seats on stage where you'll be enjoying the show but also being served on stage. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of great stuff coming up. But that 80s through line, that bit of nostalgia kind of weaves its way.
Yeah.
Through the season, and maybe that – and we didn't even plan that. It just sort of happened. Mm-hmm. So – yeah, it's going to be a great season. We're looking forward to it. And we're really excited to start with this particular show because not many people have seen it.
Yeah.
And opening weekend is selling out really well. Like, we're selling very well a month out. So I do hope people will definitely get tickets to that. And it's very easy to do that at freefalltheater.com or calling the number 727-498-5205, which I couldn't remember the other day.
Weird.
Yeah.
You just got it. You just nailed it.
Yeah, I know, but it was so weird to not remember.
You said it, but you doubted yourself.
Well, the worst thing about getting older as an actor is you get really good. Your emotions are close to the surface. You can tap into them, mm-hmm. but then you can't remember lines anymore.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
It is horrible. It really is.
I think
is.
You're doing a great job.
Hey, listen, I just did Puffs at the Straz with Jobsite Theater, which was a Harry Potter spoof. That was a lot of fun. And I will not be back on stage as of right now until the next summer in Bash of the Titans as Zeus.
Yeah.
So of all things, I'll be giving doing It'll my be. Best Laurence Olivier impersonation.
It's going to be great.
I'm starting on the beard now for Zeus.
And what a nice blessing that you'll have a break.
I need a break.
You need a break.
I do. I'm directing a few things, and that's very exciting. And I might make an appearance here or there with smaller things. But a run of a show is such a tiring thing.
Yeah, that's something that I think people don't talk about enough with theater.
Yeah.
You know, they ask, what's next?
Well, the worst thing that happens, and another thing that happens too, is, you know, it's very hard to be human doing what we do. No one wants to hear that you are having trouble or you're not feeling well or you're having a tough time about something. If you're an actor, they just want you to entertain them. They don't care about the other stuff.
Right.
And I understand that. That's why I don't share a ton of that stuff. But, you know, life can be tough, and the older you get, the stuff just gets harder and harder. It's a different kind of tired after a show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but you don't have to worry about that for quite some time.
Well, hopefully.
Except for the fact that you're juggling so many things.
Yes, I am.
Isn't that one of the – you know, we were talking about this at Freefall. We're working on our YouTube channel and beefing it up. And one of the things we realized that was a real strength was we have so many, we have a lot of on-air talent at Freefall. We have people at Freefall that could jump on a podcast and do it without a lot of preparation. Mm-hmm. We have people at Freefall that can be on camera and wing it and it not feel like they're struggling.
Yeah.
Even though there's going to be some bloopers from our yes. video where I, they'll be bleeped out where I cursed a few times. We tried to film outside yes. at this time of year.
Yeah.
And man, it's hot.
Draining.
Yeah, yeah. But what did we talk about? We talked about really for people, we talked about the fact that there are a lot of great things at Freefall, a lot of amenities, and one of them being over 160 free parking spaces.
Yeah, parking
now,
is huge.
Our artistic director will hate it when I say, let's talk about the parking at Freefall. But we do, and we had a lot of people tell us over the years the parking lot is worse for wear, mm-hmm. so we did get it resurfaced this summer. So the parking lot looks beautiful.
It does.
It's less bumpy, and it's also getting ready for Red Mesa is coming up with a new restaurant concept, which opens on the property. So it's not Mercado. I had heard it was going to be another yeah. Red Mesa Mercado, but I think there will be inside seating, and so it's going to be part of the Red Mesa family, but a new concept, and so that should be opening, I guess, in the new year, perhaps.
Yeah,
they're already working on it now,
mm-hmm.
and so. Yeah, amenities like that. We really beefed up our bar service. We offer more things, you know, more stuff to it. You know, we have more of a diverse menu. Yeah. There's a lot more things to choose from. We think that lately guest experience is really big for
yeah,
people.
Absolutely.
And so that's something we're really trying to push a lot harder. I think it's working out. Mm-hmm. You know, we really have a lot of good news at Freefall every year when we crunch the numbers. And so we're going to keep that up.
Yeah.
And, and we're up for, I guess we're up for Best of the Bay, Best
right.
Theater Company. So
that's
if
right.
people are voting on Best of the Bay, they can also vote for Radio St. Pete as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're up for Best Professional Theater Company. And so we're excited about that. We've been up for it for years. You know, we used to win it all the time. And then one day Eric Davis said, look, in a couple of years, mm-hmm. we're going to be old news. You know what I mean? Because he said, because, you know, we're really committed to this place. You know, in the arts, there's a ton of turnover
right.
in leadership. But at Freefall, there's long-term employees that have been there for over a decade, for many of them over a decade.
Yeah.
And so, that's always I think that's a good thing to have some institutional memory. But
absolutely.
What's so great to chat with you. It was so great to do this today.
Yeah, thank you for having
me. Do you have anything else you want to tell people about the show? Is it just something that you think people should really give it a shot if they've never heard of it?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's a show for everyone. I think if you ever have taken a chance on love or, you know, have gone through that tug of war between finding your independence and longing at the same time, I think it's really relatable. And I can't wait. I can't wait for it to start up officially with rehearsals, and I'd love to see you there.
Absolutely. Well, they're going to be there, Julia. You're terrific. And the more they get to know you, these audiences, the more they will love you in this. So we're very excited about this opportunity. I know you think it's a great opportunity for you, but it's a really great opportunity for us to present you
well, thank
in
you.
This. So we're really proud and we're very excited about what that means. And like we always say, we want everybody to get out there and support live theater. You're going to hear a lot of news about how tough it is for theaters these days. There's so much for people to listen to, and it's been a long hot summer,
mm-hmm.
believe me.
Get in our AC.
You know,
come
get
see
in the
show.
AC, see a show. You know, every year we've got, you know, every year we get into storm season, everyone starts to worry. I totally understand.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Freefall, forget your troubles. We've weathered the storms before. Believe me, we'll
mm-hmm.
keep doing it. So we're excited to get back up and running and hoping for the best for all theater companies this year because
absolutely.
We're all so important to one another.
Yeah.
Each and every one of them in this area have different types of shows,
mm-hmm.
have different perspectives, different artistry, and I think it's a real gift to the area. So go out there and see a show.
Yes. Yes to all of
them. All right. That's up to here. Julia, it's been so great to have you here, and I hope people check into our YouTube page because we really are a great team, a sort of Beauty and the Beast, but if anybody called you a beast, Julia,
oh my gosh,
I would have a real umbrage with that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all. Come check us out at freefalltheater.com, and as always, listen to Radio St. Pete. Lots of great people on here, lots of great broadcasters. There's always something to learn, something to enjoy,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.